Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, March 10th. I hope you're okay. Coming up today, an update on a petition to have the breast screening age for women lowered to 40.
I set it up in October because I've seen massive rise since COVID in the increased volume of patients coming through the door that are young.
The world's first historical AI avatar joins a new exhibition in Kent.
She did have a reputation for being slightly short attention span, slightly short-tempered. So if you take too long to ask her a question, she will ask you to move on.
And the Jills are back in action tonight, but they're facing some injury problems.
Listen, I'm not going to say that we're going to be weakened by any chance. They're all professional footballers, so they'll be able to do a job.
All of that still to come, but first let's take a look at our top story for today. And this has been one of the most read stories on the website. Two new proposals to create traveller sites have been submitted for land near Gravesend just weeks after legal action was started because several mobile homes had been stationed at a nearby site without permission. Now, there's a lot to this story, so Nicola has joined me to unpack some of the details. Nick, could we start by getting just a little bit of background on the land earmarked for the two new proposals?
Yes, Kate. So over the past 3 years, there have been several ongoing planning disputes for the land, and it's just off White Post Lane in Sole Street. Now, the site is subject to an enforcement notice from Gravesham Council preventing it from being used for residential purposes. However, there have been a number of planning applications looking to change that. Previously, there have been concerns about using Greenbelt land for mobile homes, but the applicants argue the site can now be considered as Greybelt.
Now, this is a contentious area with another battle for land happening on a different plot off the same road.
That's right. We've spoken about this on the podcast before, actually. A traveller family own the plot of land also off White Post Lane, and there are already some caravans parked up on the site. However, their planning permission has been denied by the council. The land is now subject to an enforcement notice which requires all buildings, vehicles and other associated items to be removed. This means those living there could be forced back onto the streets in their caravans. Now, they had until February the 11th to comply with the notice. On February the 12th, council planning enforcement officers visited the site and found evidence that the notice had not been complied with and legal action was started.
And what do the traveller families have to say about this?
Well, for them, it's a matter of finding somewhere to live, essentially. They've explained after years of living on roadsides, car parks and petrol stations, they just want to settle permanently and be given the opportunity to live alongside the local community. They also say the proposals would help address an unmet need in the borough for traveller pitches, as there's no room at nearby gypsy sites.
And what stage are we at with the two new applications?
Well, a final decision is yet to be made. The applications are very similar and would see the same amount of buildings on the site, including caravans, mobile homes and day rooms. Those behind the plans have stressed if permission is not given, their only options will be to live roadside or double up on overcrowded sites without planning permission, neither of which can be sustainable as access to schools and healthcare is often limited or not prioritised.
Thanks, Nick. You can read more about this story and take a look at the other planning applications in the area by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other news today, a man who lied to police after killing two men in a crash in Rochester has now admitted causing their deaths. Isidoro Olim told officers his girlfriend was driving the BMW when it collided with another car on Cityway in October 2022. He was due to stand trial but has now pleaded guilty. The 35-year-old from Berkeley Close in Rochester has been remanded in custody ahead of sentencing. A car driver has been taken to hospital after crashing with a lorry on the A21 near Tunbridge. They suffered hand and head injuries after their vehicle overturned not far from Morley's roundabout yesterday afternoon. The road was closed for around 3 hours. Footage has emerged of the moment a Tunbridge man was chased by police after jumping from a second floor window to try and avoid being arrested. Officers had been sent in January to detain Bobby Thorpe, who was wanted over a series of offences. This is the moment they caught up with him.
Surely not. Mate, surely not. You got anything with you, mate? You got anything with you?
What have you underestimate?
It's my heart split.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yeah.
Bad.
No. Not too bad.
No, need a bit of...
That's not bad. How have you done it? Just now? You all right with that just now, was it?
Just jumped out the window, mate.
Yeah, no, I know.
Hit my head on the roof, Rob.
The 33-year-old from Royal West Kent Avenue is now serving 36 weeks in prison. A teenager whose dog attacked a baby at a house in Folkestone has avoided being sent to prison. The little girl was left with two skull fractures and brain hemorrhages after being bitten by an XL bully called Hunter in December 2024. Jordan Williams, who's 19 and from Siskin Close in Hawkinge, has been given a suspended sentence in order to do 150 hours of unpaid work. He's also banned from keeping a dog for 6 years.
Kent Online News.
A petition set up by a chemotherapy nurse from Kent calling for the age when women first have a mammogram to be lowered has reached 100,000 signatures. At the moment, routine screenings start between 50 and 53. Gemma Reeves wants it reduced to 40 after seeing an increase in the number of younger people being diagnosed with breast cancer.
I feel totally like overwhelmed and humbled by everyone taking time to sign and share the petition and talk about it amongst their friends and family. Part of me, when I set up the petition in October, thought, I'm never going to get 100,000 signatures. So when, I'd hope to, but I just thought 100,000 is so unrealistic and unachievable. So when the momentum picked up and I got to like 80,000, I was like, we're doing this. I set it up in October because I've seen massive rise since COVID in the increased volume of patients coming through the door that are young, and I recognise their faces from school or they're a friend of a friend. And I just thought something needs to change, and the breast screening programme hasn't actually been amended. The age was raised, but it hasn't been lowered since 1988. That's where the petition came from. Anything caught early has a better outcome. You know, that's a given. And anything as simple as, a tooth infection, if that's caught early and treated earlier, then it prevents like a hospital admission. And catching breast cancer earlier, I mean, it's not going to stop hospital admissions, or it's not going to stop chemotherapy, but if it's caught earlier, it means that patients don't need to necessarily have such grueling chemotherapy. It might be that they need to have a lumpectomy or radiotherapy. They just don't need to have rounds and rounds of chemotherapy. Now it's reached 100,000 signatures. It will be debated, hopefully, in Parliament. I am waiting to have a meeting with one of the health ministers because it was mentioned at Prime Minister Questions on National Cancer Day, and the Prime Minister said that he would arrange a meeting. So I'm waiting for that.
Two Kent water companies have been told they can't increase customers' bills by as much as they plan to. Southern and South East Water wanted to put up prices by 15 and 18%. The UK's competition watchdog is limiting them to 3 and 4% instead. Extra money is also being granted to improve services, tackle pollution and secure investment. Elsewhere, a Kent water company says it's managed to stop thousands of litres of sewage getting into waterways and the sea. Southern Water has been investigating properties in Herne Bay where waste pipes are mistakenly connected to drains instead of sewers. They found 8 houses that didn't have the correct plumbing and are now doing the same thing in Folkestone. Work to demolish a building in Ashford Town Centre is due to start this week following a huge fire. Plans to build 34 flats on the Swanton House site had already been approved when the blaze broke out last week. Drone footage at Kent Online shows the extent of the damage.
Kent Online News.
A decision is due to be made later on controversial plans to build 2,500 homes in Faversham. Proposals for the new estate near Brenly Corner have been put forward by the Prince William's Duchy of Cornwall. It would cover 340 acres of farmland and has been recommended for approval at a meeting tonight. A disability campaigner says he's prepared to take legal action over a railway crossing in Ashford. The proposed bridge linking two housing estates was initially meant to be an accessible one, but a stepped one was approved at a meeting in December. Wheelchair users or people on mobility scooters would face a 1-mile diversion along the A25 K2070, and Doug Pawley is calling for a public inquiry. Campaigners say they'll keep fighting against plans for 20 new homes on a former sports field in Herne Bay. The site off Beacon Road has been allocated for houses on council's draft local plan, sparking backlash from residents, including John Nasty Nick Altman from EastEnders, who spent time there as a child. They want it kept as a space for community use. The draft local plan is expected to be approved by the council cabinet on March 18th before going to a full council meeting for a vote the same evening. Plans have been revealed to build two blocks of flats in Sittingbourne Town Centre. Developers are hoping to create 116 apartments on an empty site in Fountain Street. Each building would have six stories. It'd also be a children's play area. A new cancer support centre is going to be built at Maidstone Hospital. Plans for the facility have been approved and it's expected to open in 2 years' time. We're told it'll offer free expert help for people living with cancer as well as their friends and family. Now, head over to Kent Online to see inside a new music and comedy venue due to open in Sittingbourne. The Swale Assembly in the former Life nightclub on the High Street is run by the same people behind the Booking Hall in Dover. They're putting finishing touches to building work after getting the keys to the property in January. A tribute band is due to play there on Saturday night. Stuart Cameron is launching the Swale Assembly and has been speaking to reporter Joe Crossley.
It's a 230 capacity independent entertainment venue. Our main entertainment is going to be live music, but we're going to do comedy and a few other things as well. The idea is just to bring quality entertainment to the local community here in Sittingbourne, hopefully at a, you know, at what people will consider a reasonable price, and that's our goal, really.
What sort of bands and what sort of events are you going to be holding here?
Mainly live music, so we'll be catering to the more niche stuff. So much like our sister venue in Dover, the Booking Hall, we do a lot of rock, we do a lot of blues, we do a lot of ska, we do a lot of punk, we do a lot of indie. So leaning towards the more sort of niche alternative things, which we currently don't think is very served in this area. The hopes of the community will sort of embrace it and, you know, and enjoy it because, you know, we're here to put events on that, you know, hopefully the community will enjoy and want to attend to. You know, we've got no real agenda about what we want to pull on. We want to put on stuff that the community want to see, really.
Obviously, you've still got a little bit to do while we're here at the moment. But just tell me what the place is going to look like once it's all finished.
Well, we're going for a bit of an old school sort of Art Deco theatre style sort of decoration throughout. So lots of reds and golds and creams and blacks sort of colours. But yeah, but the idea is it to be just a nice, smart looking, clean entertainment venue that, you know, hopefully, you know, puts on some quality music and entertainment that the community will come to see. Yeah.
What have you had to do to get this place up to scratch? Because it used to be a nightclub, so I'm guessing you've had to rip out some old.
Yeah, it was in quite a sort of disused state. So, you know, me and the team have all been really hard at, you know, redoing the plumbing, we do the electrics, you know, the fire alarm systems. There's been lots of carpentry going on. The flooring's been redone. You know, you name it, it's sort of been done, really. But I think it's definitely all going to be worth it.
Kent Online News.
A new exhibition has opened at Leeds Castle featuring the world's first historical interactive AI avatar. It's called Pilgrimage of Love and explores the life of Eleanor of Castile, who was the Queen of England and the first female owner of Leeds Castle. Visitors can also take part in an audience with the Queen, an AI reimagining of Eleanor that recognises when people approach and responds directly to questions. I've been speaking to Sue Pritchard and Dominique Bouchard, who are the exhibition curators.
You can ask her absolutely anything. But we've lent into the fact that as a queen, she did have a reputation for being slightly short attention span, slightly short tempered. So if you take too long to ask her a question, she will ask you to move on.
She's a little bit rude. I guess rude to us peasants. So the way that it works, so lots of companies obviously can create AIs. The ones that are out there that we're aware of, I kind of are for a single person to interact with, usually in a virtual space. So you can go onto like a gaming platform or a gaming engine and have a chat with a computer animated character, but Eleanor's completely different because you're in the real world, and she interacts with everybody around her. So it's kind of, if we take the idea of a game, every person in the chapel, in the room where the AI is located, can interact with her kind of at the same time. She doesn't respond to groups. She won't say sort of, you know, like, all right, one at a time, but she does get pretty annoyed if she's not respected. The way that it works is we've loaded really important but foundational information into the avatar. So if you ask a factual question about Eleanor and her life, she will respond from a bank of information that we provided. But after that, we've decided to let the LLM, the large language model, kind of run free. And what we've worked very particularly closely on with the AI company is what's called the lens, is her personality, is how she answers and that sort of thing. So we've developed that with them, but she does have the full breadth of the internet available and within her knowledge. So it is a few really important choices that we made here that, you know, are right for us, but may not be right for every heritage organization or cultural organization that wants to do this. Namely, she knows she's an AI. So it knows it's a computer, it knows it's in the modern world. And that means that the visitors can have a much more sort of realistic interaction. So for example, we thought it would be kind of not boring, but it'd be kind of frustrating to go and ask something about the 14th century and have the AI say, well, I don't know anything about that because I died in 1290. And so there's no more information. So rather than pretending that the avatar on a screen is an actual living person, we've kind of lent into the nature of what an AI is, what it can do, and the fact that you're talking to a computer screen ultimately. And the authenticity comes from the factual information that we've provided, but also the incredible research and work that Sue has done with the art team at the AI company to craft this person. And obviously, as she says, we don't know what Eleanor looked like, but this is an interpretation. And this is actually a really, we think, excellent interpretation in the way that it's been informed.
I think it's very much about, you know, trying to create a kind of emotional response to a historical figure who was so important in so many ways. So, for example, she had 16 children, and this is always a sort of throwaway line in the biographies or in the history books. You know, she was probably pregnant 16 times, and then we move swiftly on. But, you know, that idea of having 16 pregnancies, you know, and still traveling up and down the country, still going on crusade. She had two children while she was on crusade. And the kind of toll that would have taken on this woman, you know, childbirth in the medieval period was extremely dangerous for both mother and child. And the idea that, as so many history books sort of relate, that she was somehow a bad mother simply because she would leave her children at various kind of noble households, which was perfectly acceptable in those times and carried on right the way through to the Tudor period, is extraordinary. And I just want people to really try and engage with this phenomenal woman on a very personal and a very emotional level.
The exhibition is on now. More than £23,000 has been raised to help keep running a life-saving drug education program for young people in Kent. The Think Differently campaign in schools is the work of the Kenwood Trust. A ball staged by the Yalding-based charity over the weekend also marked 30 years of their youth work in the county. And the Dover Regatta is being launched as a harbour festival this summer. It'll include races and marine performances as well as onshore activities for families. The event will be held on the 4th and 5th of July.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham welcome promotion chasing MK Dons to Priestfield later. It follows the Gills 1-1 draw against Fleetwood Town on Saturday. Tonight's visitors are second in League 2 while the home side are down in 16th. Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth has injury problems ahead of tonight's game.
Listen, I'm not going to say that we're going to be weakened by any chance. They're all professional footballers, so they'll be able to do a job. MK have brought players from a higher division and have seemed to have had an endless limit to what they can do. They, you know, they brought this player in, he gets injured or he's not great, so they'll bring another one in. You know, we even tried to bring a couple of their players to our place in the summer, thinking they might be out of favour, but they're keeping them all, and no wonder they're up there, because they've got a big squad and a lot of quality in their squad. And that, it unfortunately, you know, it does talk when you sign players like that, and that's where we are. But I am also going to say that Brad and Shannon have backed me with what I want to do. You know, we brought Roland in, we brought Seb in for money, and that they're good signings, big signings for us, and they will come, they will produce. Yeah, wait and see, bit of patience. MK coming on Tuesday will be a tough game, but I'm well up for it.
Kickoff is at 7:45. Rugby Now and Medway Women have been celebrating a huge victory in their latest National Challenge Southeast League match. They beat Portsmouth Valkyries 81-0 at the weekend, scoring 13 tries. Medway are fourth in the table and host Leaders Hove on Saturday. And taking a look at the Winter Paralympics, Kent's James Barnes-Miller says disappointment in the snowboard cross will give him extra motivation for his final event later this week. The 36-year-old from Broadstairs finished last after stumbling in his quarterfinal race. He'll go into the banked slalom on Saturday. Britain are still waiting for their first medal at the Games. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.